SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. It is a fantastic Wednesday morning and a lot of action to get to. Donnie Wrightside, Dubs Anderson. The next 3 hours, we have you covered on every single hot topic you're going to need, whether it's the NFL, whether it's the World Series continuing, whether it's injury updates, trades going down, and the NBA action on the court here, Dubs. It's a Wednesday. We're ready to rock and roll.
Got to be real, Donnie. Didn't get any sleep last night. Absolutely pumped up, motivated for a happy hump day. There's too much going on in the sports and sports wagering world right now, Donnie. That game last night, I know we're going to get to. Absolutely got me in my feels. We're still alive in the World Series, baby. Let's keep it rocking and rolling.
I love that, too, because it gives us an extra day of content to sort of go back and watch what we saw, but also be able to flip it forward to tonight. And then maybe we'll get Wednesday baseball into Friday baseball in Game 6 out in Los Angeles. Let's get to the 7-7, the hottest topics across the sports landscape, which was last night in the Bronx, New York. The Bombers, Dubsy, finally came out. They played 11 runs in an 11-4 victory over the Dodgers. And I got to tell you, if you were at Yankee Stadium last night watching that game to start, of course, Freddie Freeman went yard to give you a 2-0 lead, and a sweep was underway, but not so fast. 5 runs compiled by the Yankees, by the end of the third inning to take control of this game. The bats came to play. The fans tried their best to rip baseballs out of players' hands last night, but the Yankees were victors last night in the Bronx.
You love to see the pinstripes avoiding that potential sweep. Yeah. Luis Hill was out there on the bump. He was far from fantastic, but it was a case of the offense finally showing up there in Game 4 to force a Game 5. We're still looking for Aaron Judge, but this game had a little bit of everything, including Mookie Betts getting tackled up against the fence to steal that ball from his grasp. But great to see it. I think they got a really good chance coming up for Game 5 again here. And for the Dodgers, Freddie Freeman. I thought he was injured coming into the series, Donnie. Certainly hasn't looked like it so far.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit later about Freddie Freeman's chances to win an MVP of the World Series, which are now listed, even though the Dodgers lost last night, at a minus 900 price. Gerrit Cole back on the mound. We'll handicap that game just a little bit later. But a great night in the Bronx for Yankees fans. You get to see baseball once again tonight with a chance to possibly see Game 6 with your ace on the mound in Game number 5 tonight. Let's keep it moving in the NFL. Big news came down yesterday. Anthony Richardson to the bench. Joe Flacco into the game. Anthony Richardson usually had to the bench, Dubs. Why? Because he's injured. Not this time. You take a look at that Adam Schefter tweet here. He's in. Flacco ready to go. Can he lead the Colts into the playoffs here, Dubsy?
I think he can, and I think they probably should have started with Flacco. This is a sign of the times where these young quarterbacks are given, you know, I guess 10 games, 9 games to sort of try and prove themselves and to see if the NFL ready. But I guess the big takeaway was last weekend, Richardson getting it downfield and then coming to the sideline saying, hey, coach, I'm not ready to go for that next play, saying, I want to sit this one out. Not a good sign towards the rest of your teammates. It hasn't been a good showing. He hasn't done enough. And here's Joe Flacco. What is he? 36, 37 years young, but can still mix it with the best of them. He gives them the best chance on Sundays.
By the way, we are looking at Anthony Richardson. The interesting part about this, he was the number 3 overall pick. We knew coming into the pros that he was a little bit raw, but my goodness, all the talent is there. Make no mistake about it. This wasn't just, hey, I wanted to tap out in the middle of a football game. He hasn't been playing well. There's got to be some other underlying issues that we don't know about, whether it's film study, working hard in practice, because it's very rare when your kid... Look, he's not playing awful, awful football, but he's not playing great football. And Joe Flacco certainly is not the franchise, you know, guy that you're going to be looking forward to over the next 2 to 3 seasons. There has to be a lot more there. But the Colts said, you know what? Business decision, Dubsy. We're trying to win football games. Joe Flacco gives us the best chance to do that. What a shame here for the Texans. Coming into the season, one of the teams I certainly wanted to highlight. You take a look at C.J. Stroud, an excellent quarterback. They're 6-2 in the season, probably going to win their division. But Stephon Diggs now out for the season with an ACL tear. Absolutely devastating. Stating news here. Nico Collins already on the IR trying to fight his way back from a hamstring injury. Tank Dell now, the leader in the clubhouse here. How does this affect us moving forward with the Texans, Dubs?
It's a massive blow for the Texans. They've certainly got a bevy of superstars when they're at full health. I mean, they're going to have to lean on the run game. Joey Mixon has looked a lot stronger, but for Stephon Diggs, All-Pro, seventh in the NFL for catches this season, was sitting there second in receiving yards for the Texans, so was one of the primary threats for CJ Stroud. Not good. Was going to be a free agent at the end of this season. So had a lot to play for, a lot on the line. Peak of his powers, if you will. Massive blow for Houston moving forward.
Yeah, Nico Collins is fantastic. Hopefully comes back sooner than later and is healthy. Tank Dell, we know he is a very good wide receiver. But boy, he just had that veteran in the room, that former number one, just to try to stay the course and help you out in the playoffs. Not going to be there. It'll be interesting, Dubsy. Next week, we do have the trade deadline in the NFL. Let's see what the Houston Texans actually do there. Because why? The Ravens, they're making moves. They're taking wide receivers. Deontay Johnson from the Panthers basically got him for free. I love this move, Dubs, because he's not a true number one, which I didn't want to see the Ravens get, like Davante Adams. You say, Donnie, why would that happen? Everybody would want Davante Adams. I just want that identity of the Baltimore Ravens to still be on the ground. They add another wide receiver. There's no reason why this Ravens team now, built for the remaining parts of the season and into the playoffs, cannot be effective and possibly get to the Super Bowl now, Dubsy.
This is why I couldn't sleep, Donnie. I mean, did the Ravens offense just get even better? I know it's going to lead with that rush attack, but 452 yards of offense per game, the best in the NFL right now. Unbelievable stuff. You look at the weapons that they've got to work with. You look at Derrick Henry, the season he's putting together. Lamar Jackson, one of the short choices there for the MVP. You're throwing the likes of Flowers, Bateman, your tight ends likely. Mark Ingram's looking fantastic again. So Deontay Johnson, this is a fantastic ad coming across from the Panthers. The Ravens getting set to roll in the back half of the year.
Love the move. We'll see how they go. Also, a devastating loss to the lowly Cleveland Browns, which Jameis Winston was able to play fire football in that game to knock them off. They're trying to make themselves better. I love that. And also the Vikings, if we flip it over to the NFC, they lose one of the best left tackles in football in Christian Darrisaw. What do? They don't waste any time. They go out and get another left tackle in Cam Robinson from the Jaguars, who seemingly are starting to wave the white flag here in 2024. The Vikings aren't giving up on their season. They add a good left tackle here.
Yeah, brings plenty of experience and pedigree to the clubhouse, and I think that's absolutely what they're going to need trying to keep this season upright. The Vikings look fantastic thus far. Darrisaw was a massive loss for him, but you look at Cam Robinson and what he brings, no shortage, been absolute professional in the pros here for the Jags. Now coming across with a really good chance to make a bit of a playoff push, something that he hasn't been playing for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years there. So I think this is another timely ad for Minnesota.
Absolutely. And you look at these players, like we talk about Deontay Johnson coming over from a dead-in-the-water program to a team with a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl. Then you see there, you know, Darrisaw goes down. You add your left tackle. He comes from a program that certainly wasn't going anywhere in Jacksonville, over to Minnesota with a chance to make a playoff run. To the NBA last night, the Stars were out, and that means the Mavericks were a 120-114 victor over the Minnesota Timberwolves. You take a look yesterday, Doncic, 24 points. Kyrie Irving, 35 points. Superstar, the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, 12 of 20 from the floor, 7 of 13 from three-point range, 37 points. Not good enough as the Dallas Mavericks picked up the dub over Minnesota.
Mavericks looking really good. Kyrie Irving, 16 points of the 35 in that third quarter. And for Anthony Edwards, 5-plus three-pointers in all four games this season. So Minnesota, the Timbs, they're looking strong without obviously having the big fella Cat back in the mix this season. But for Dallas, the Mavericks, Kyrie Irving, he was back in his bag. And Luka coming up with that clutch dagger. Timely. Love to see it.
New look Mavs there with Klay Thompson firing three-point shots as well. We'll see where that goes here, but exciting times in the NBA, and also exciting times for my Philadelphia 76ers getting fined $100,000 because of the statements made about Joel Embiid's health. No Embiid yet, no Paul George yet. That's all I can say on that, Dubsy. That's it.
It's tough. And look, we're not questioning the validity of the injury there for Big Jojo. It's just the transparency. And $100,000, it's nothing but a bit of loose change. They would have made that from the nacho stand prior to the opening tip-off for Game 4 coming up there. So not great to see there for the 76ers. We want to see the superstars out there on the floor, Donnie. If I go to StubHub and pay $10 for a nosebleed, I want to see the big names in attendance, even if it's for 2 minutes. Even if it's just for 2 minutes.
$100,000. That's just a couple parlays on FanDuel to get that money back here. No problems at all. Let's talk baseball next. Game number 4. What happened there?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, Dubsy did very well in the betting markets last night with game number 4. And I am a baseball fan. And if you live to fight another day, which means you get another day of baseball, I absolutely love that. And we have that today. Why? Because of an 11-4 game yesterday where the Yankees beat the Los Angeles Dodgers finally to extend this series to at least 5 games, which will take place tonight at 8 p.m. in the Bronx. But if you go back to last night, boy, oh boy, like if you're a Yankee fan, like, you know what? We're probably not going to win this series, but can I at least get a good baseball game that I can cheer on, and maybe we can push this to game number 5. And right away, was it any surprise? Freddie Freeman, it's a 2-run home run in the first inning to take a 2-0 lead, and Yankee Stadium was absolutely silent, and rightfully so. But the Yankee bats really showed up and put the game away in the 8th inning by plating 5 runs based on Gleyber Torres's 3-run blast. I loved what I saw of the Yankees. There was a lot of fight last night, and if there is any silver lining, my goodness, Aaron Judge finally with a base knock last night. It's got to feel good. The Yanks get the victory 11-4. Their ace gets on the mound for game number 5, Dubs. What did you see last night from that Yankees-Dodgers game?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought on the betting side of things, you know, all the stars really aligned. It wasn't going to be the Dodgers' best chance of trying to close out a World Series. They were always leaning on that bullpen game, and it really wasn't enough in support there. For Luis Hill, we knew he was a little sketchy, I guess you could say. He wasn't fantastic in trying to lead the pinstripes early in this one, but the offense finally lit up, and I guess it was a regression to the means. I mean, there was only so long we could go without all this star power and this superstar showing on the offensive side for the Yankees that they just weren't going to deliver us a couple of runs. Even when the Dodgers went up early in this one, it just felt like it was going to blow open late. I thought Anthony Volpe was fantastic. It was great to see Aaron Judge finding a little bit of momentum, and that can be a scary thing. You know, I think we forget how close game one was going in favor to the pinstripes, and this series would look a lot different. You know, next swing, next at-bat is all that matters, and for the Yankees, they keep this series alive. They've got a really good chance coming back here this evening for game 5, so things you love to see. I thought it was fantastic. You want to see a bit of offense and star power, but I mean, full credit and flowers where flowers are due. Freddie Freeman has been fantastic. I completely avoided him like the plague in the MVP market coming into this series, Donnie. The rumor was, I mean, the word was, we could see that he wasn't at full health getting set to play in the World Series off that back foot, but he has not lacked any kind of power. He has been fantastic for the Dodgers. And if they are to go on and close this thing out, I mean, Freddie Freeman, hats off to you, sir. But this is what it's all about. Game 4, Yankee Stadium. It had a bit of everything, including that fanfare with the fans getting involved, trying to steal that ball away from Mookie Betts. And the best part about that for me, Donnie, was that apparently this was the plan for the fans. They ever said, if this comes in our way, we're going to defend our ballpark and play for our team. So this was a whole thing that one of them was going to attack the ball, the other was going to go for the other head. And hey, look, they got it.
Fan interference in New York, something that we've seen before way back, but it was the 1990s against the Baltimore Orioles. I think it was Jeffrey Mayer out there in the left field or the right field seats stealing a home run over Tarasco, which was hilarious at the time. There was no replay. They let the home run go, and he lives in Yankee lore. I don't know what these two guys down that right field line will live in Yankee lore, but maybe it's one of those things where they set the tone for the Yankees, and if the Yankees come back, you'll always look back at these two guys trying to peel the baseball out of the glove of Mookie Betts. But this game, I believe, Dubsy, was sided in the bottom of the third inning, 2 outs, bases loaded, Anthony Volpe's grand slam. Let me tell you something here, Dubs. He grounds out, flies out, or makes an out there. I'm not so sure, even though you had a long way to go in that baseball game, and it was only 2-1. But that put life back into the Yankees there, the excitement here, and then which gave them the ability to hang on in this game. It also played, as we said, 5 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning. If we were looking at, here's what's so amazing about the World Series. Like, you expect that when you have a chance to close out the World Series in the opposing team's ballpark, you go with a bullpen game. And I understand it's today, it's this day and age, it's just what happens. You know, Kasparius gets the start in this game, pitches 2 innings. The guy first saw his Major League Baseball action in August of this year in a World Series closeout game on the road. Now, he ends up giving 1 earned run. Hudson comes in, gives up 4 earned. Honeywell, obviously, in the 8th inning, gives up 5 earned runs. But Luisio, you're right about it, starting it off here. 4 innings, pitch 4 earned runs. Dubs, you tell me that yesterday before this game started, I'm taking the Dodgers in a runaway victory if they're going to knock Heel out at that point. But it's a gutsy effort by the Yankees. I'm sure Yankee Stadium will be on fire tonight, but I was pretty impressed. 4 of 15 with runners in scoring position, which isn't great, but it shows the Yankees had a lot of chances to plate runs, and they came up with the big swings when they needed to get them.
And Donnie, momentum in any sports betting, it's a wonderful thing when it's in your favor, but when you're trying to play against it, it absolutely seems like an impossible feat. And it looked like that's what the Yankees have been trying to go up against. It wasn't so much the Dodgers have been fantastic. They just couldn't find that spark. And suddenly putting up an 11 piece there for game four, getting the win, getting the fans into this one. Game five back at Yankee Stadium. It is going to be rocking and rolling. And maybe that was the catalyst, the impetus to turn this series on its head, turn this thing wide, wide open for the Yankees. You got to like your chances. I took over 5.5 games, Donnie. I want to see this thing go the distance. I want to see it at least come back out to the West Coast. But for the Dodgers, now they're suddenly playing catch up and they're not going to have the better of the starting arms coming up here for game five. So the Yankees, they stepped up. And what scares me, Donnie, is look, they've still got plenty left in the tank. We didn't see all their star power finding that top offensive stride. If they can't read a rock and roll again, we could have more runs flowing in.
No, we should too. And you take a look at that lineup, and I know it's not much. Aaron Judge hitting 152 in the playoffs, but got a walk yesterday, got an RBI, got a base hit. If you can just get him going in the middle of that lineup, just to see him get base hits here, has to feel good for him, the fans, and also the team itself. Now, granted, Shohei Ohtani, a little bit limited with that shoulder injury. He gets a base hit yesterday, but Gerrit Cole is going to be on the mound tonight. That is your ace. That's the guy you just wanted to get the ball in his hand again to try to extend that series. So, Dubs, let me ask you this question with Aaron Judge. Are the vibes coming back for Judge, where he's showing some life here for you?
Absolutely. I make the comparisons, for a hitter compared to a golfer who's maybe lost that mojo, that confidence with the flat stick. Sometimes it can look like a beach ball, and other times it can look like a marble, like a ping pong ball. But for Aaron Judge, he'll take enough from that, a bit of confidence, and he can tell himself, next swing, next at bat, that's all that matters. He's coming off a decent game. He can only build on that. And I tell you what, Donnie, on the plus side, he can't get worse. He can't do less than what we saw in the first three games. More of the same from game four. Watch out. The Yankees could be heating up.
You're absolutely correct here. Now, in the next segment, we're going to recalibrate the World Series. Is there a chance the Yankees can win it? Who's going to win MVP? Come on back with us. It's the early on a Wednesday morning. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're going to get a game number five, Dubsy, tonight in the Bronx. Now, we're going to handicap this game a little bit later in the show, but I wanted to recalibrate the World Series to see if there are options for the Yankees to come back against the Dodgers. Because quite frankly, entering into game number three, I didn't think there would be a game number five. Even though the Dodgers are throwing a bullpen set, there was no life in that Yankees locker room. You sort of understand what's going to happen in the rest of the series. Now, also, maybe it was a blessing in disguise where last night you were throwing Luis Gil. Hey, just give us what you can. Can we just get to game number five where Gerrit Cole is going to take the mound again? We can win that game, take it to game six. Maybe the pressure flips back to the Los Angeles Dodgers. So the World Series odds as they sit today on the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Dodgers still a heavy price at a -950 to win the series. The Yankees at a +660 price. Games 6.5. It's still heavily priced and juiced to the under at -360, which means we would need to get to game number seven to cash that ticket. And then the spread on the series, the Dodgers obviously still a heavy favorite, -1.5 games, heavily juiced at -350. Let's start with the odds itself. Is there any buying back here just yet on the New York Yankees at a +660 price? Or the Dodgers, you say, you know what? It might be a great parlay piece. I'll use it with something else. I'll take the -950 in the series and use it with some other wagers.
You'd want to have a couple of great other ways, just going with that -950. Yeah. I think the only value is there with the Yankees, and they'd have to start with game five. Obviously, that series total was set at 5.5. That now skyrockets to 6.5, maybe the Dodgers minus 1.5, but I just don't see a world in which I could entertain the Yankees getting back in to win this thing. But I do think they've got a really good chance of taking out Game 5. So a lot of those World Series markets and prices, heavily juiced there for the Dodgers, minus 950. But stranger things have happened. They still run the race for a very good reason. It's a best of 7 for a good reason, and they're still alive, so they still got that puncher's chance. You can only start with the next one coming up later this evening. And if they can get it back to LA for a Game 6, Donnie, who knows? So maybe that's the price play, a little sprinkle, a little pizza money, if you will, on the Yankees to take this series out altogether there. You're still getting a nice little number. And look, if they can somehow pull the upset tonight, Game 6, I turn it back to Game 1. It wasn't like Dodger Stadium was so tough of an environment for the Yankees to play in. They weren't fantastic, and they lost the decision in the 10th inning. So the Dodgers needed absolutely everything. If you can win 2 on the bounce, it's going to be a lot of momentum coming back to the West Coast. So I would argue on the odds board, the World Series prices, the Yankees potentially hold a little bit of value. But outside of that, you're paying a lot of juice for potentially a bit of a squeeze.
Yeah, you are. And if we take a look here at the series correct score odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 4-1 Dodgers, which means they win tonight, is a plus 116. Oh, it just so happens on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's a plus 116 number tonight for that team to actually win, which would be obviously moving forward. Now, 4-2, 4-3, 4-3, almost said 4-4, which obviously would be impossible here. The 4-2 Dodgers at a plus 195 price is really interesting to me, because I don't think the Dodgers win tonight. And you can get a pretty penny there if you pick the Dodgers winning in 6 games once it gets back to Chavez Ravine. Once again, 4-1 Dodgers, if it closes out tonight, that's the Dodgers underdog price just to win the series. But I do think 4-2 is an interesting number, plus 195. Or do we get frisky, Dubsy, and go to a Game 7 and say, you know what? I'll just take both sides of Game number 7, plus 550, plus 660 in that series. How about that? Ooh, boy.
Yeah, find a couple of different positions, Donnie. That's what it's all about. We're living a little. And look, I was stomping my feet about the World Series prices. That's the best way to find a bit of value for coming into Game 5 here. A little exacter. How many games are we going to see? I think it finishes in 6. I think the Yankees get the win here tonight. They pick up 2 on the bounce, bring it out to the West Coast, and let the Dodgers celebrate in their ballpark. Maybe we get it the full slate. I tell you what, Donnie, if you look at awards getting a full Game 7, a full complement for the series, you'd have to be also looking at the Yankees of taking that thing out back at that big price.
Let's look at that MVP odds market. As we said, Freddie Freeman, a minus 900 price to win MVP, followed by Volpe of the Yankees. If they win it, 17-1, Judge 32-1, Soto 34-1. Is it Freddie for, like, you can never say never. Like, if the Yankees end up winning in 7 games and, Judge hits 2 home runs every single game from here on out, maybe that changes things. But it's hard to go against Freeman. If you did, who would it be, Dubsy?
It'd have to be probably Volpe from what we saw last night. If he's going to get the flowers for getting the win in Game 4, he's going to have to do something again in Game 5, Game 6, and Game 7. You have to have your winner on the winning team, obviously. So Freddie Freeman continues to fly, minus 900. You've lost that price. If you think the Yankees are alive and can get back into this one, look towards a Volpe or Stanton. Stanton, what a slow runner. Unbelievable, Donnie.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Get some speed out there in the base pass. Talking about speed at quarterback, it's Anthony Richardson. He ain't playing anymore. We'll talk about that, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ah, just like in golf, Dubsy, moving day sets in where some of these players move up and down to try to get a chance to win a golf tournament. Say, why are you talking golf right now? Because it's moving day in Indianapolis. Moving in is Joe Flacco. Moving out is Anthony Richardson. You take a look at that Adam Schefter bombshell yesterday. The coaches met this morning and made seismic organizational decision to change quarterbacks. And yes, that means Anthony Richardson, the number 3 overall pick, no longer the starting quarterback. Is it short term? Is it long term? Let's start here, Dubsy. I agree with this decision. because in the NFL, it's a week-to-week league. If you feel your team has a chance to win and a better chance to win with a different quarterback and or make the playoffs, you owe it to your locker room to make that change. Do we think Anthony Richardson is done in the NFL and can't be a quarterback? Not necessarily, but it's obvious to the point right now. He's inefficient at the quarterback. He's not making the plays he needs to make, and it looks like the Colts could be in a better position with Joe Flacco. Do you agree with this move?
Absolutely, yeah. And Joe Flacco, he's going to come in, ready to rock and roll. We saw that last season when he took over the duties late. I think it's unfortunate, but it's a sign of the times that, you know, the only key metric or stat that matters in the NFL is the win column. And for the Colts to have put themselves in a really good position off the back of some decent play from Anthony Richardson, they've got to be looking around saying, Flacco is going to be that guy for us. Richardson, he's only 22 years of age. He's put up some decent numbers. He's certainly a tremendous athlete. He's made some silly decisions at time. I don't think it helped his stock from what we saw last week, leaving the game, putting his hand up, saying, I was a little tight on that one, coach. Can I sit out a play and then go back into the mix? Doesn't really send a great vibe across the locker room. But what has he done on the field has been decent, I would say, at best there. But I think it's tough, Donnie. You know, for a young quarterback, you want to see what you're working with. You're trying to take that gamble and saying that maybe we've got the next CJ Stroud or the next Jordan Love or the next, Bo Nix, I guess, who's been pretty strong out the gates here in year one. It hasn't worked out in favor. He's shown us ability to rush there, but now put him to the back benches. The only concern, Donnie, is for me, it really hurts a young quarterback's confidence. You know, I know we can say, well, he can now learn from Joe Flacco, but maybe that decision should have made a little earlier in the season. But at least now you know exactly what you're working with. You can try and develop Anthony Richardson to come up and be that starting, you know, franchise quarterback going forward, because again, he's so young. He's only 22 years of age. He's got all the weapons to make it. It's just not right now. Joe Flacco, season pro. I love this for the Colts going against the Vikings coming up.
And also, hear me out on this. Like Anthony Richardson can serve a purpose on this Colts team if he isn't the starting quarterback. The same way I talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dubs, where I say to myself, you know what? Russell Wilson is a great quarterback from 20 to 20. But if those red zone struggles continue, Justin Fields is the perfect player to put in short yarded situations. He can make plays with his legs. The same thing with Anthony Richardson. You tell me you put Anthony Richardson in on the 3-yard line with Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. That's automatic touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. But here's the reason why the move was made. It's not so much that you get really bad quarterback play, but it's the easy plays that you're not making where it's like, hey, there's a guy running wide open here. Just make the simple throw 5 to 7 yards down the field. If we look at this season and we remove that Pittsburgh game, which went 3 of 4 for 71 yards, but then got injured and missed the next week there. Look at the other four games, Dubsy. Against Green Bay, 17 of 34, which is 50%. Against Chicago, 10 of 20, 50%. Against Miami, 10 of 24, 41%. Against Houston, 10 of 32, 31%. And look at the passer ratings, 41, 39, 59, 48. The QBR ratings, which are based on 100, 30, 19, 18, and 40. Like, you're just putting your team behind the eight ball, and you take a look at the standings here in their division in the AFC South. It's a miracle that they're 4-4 with that type of quarterback play. Now, the Texans sit in the lead at 6-2, but this is the sign where I think it's a healthy organizational decision. The one thing you have to understand is the owner's going to make a lot of these moves. Say, wait a second, we drafted a guy at number 3. We're going to play him all out. But when you get the head coach, which is Shane Steichen, who's a wonderful offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, I think he's a very good head coach. He just needs a quarterback to execute his offense. You don't need the big boom play. You don't need the 30-yard run out of the quarterback, the 65-yard touchdown pass once in a while. I just need you to make the simple throws. And Flacco should be able to do that. So for me, Dubsy, I love this move because it says to the locker room, we're trying to win football games, and that's all you can ask for.
Absolutely. And Donnie, there's still going to be room in the NFL to develop young talent. You cannot expect these quarterbacks coming out of college to just have an impact day one. You know, Bo's been strong. Caleb, Daniels, they've also been outliers as well. I think they go against the norm and what's expected. If you look at the Colts, obviously a bit of a sour taste with that loss going against the Texans last week. But taking a look at the schedule here, if they can just survive the next four and go 500, they've got a really good chance to close out the year with a couple of wins. They've got the Vikings, Bills, Jets, Lions on deck, but then you finish off going against the Pats, Broncos, Titans, Giants, and Jags. That's going to be one of the easiest schedules for the last 6 weeks of the regular season. They know a lot of these games have been right in the balance. You highlighted, Donnie, a couple of, you know, easy, silly mistakes have been made, and that's not good enough. And if you look back in hindsight and say, well, if Flacco was our starting quarterback, if Flacco was out there in the fourth quarter to make that dink and dunk and get us that 15 yards, I have no hesitation to think that their record would be looking a little better than 4-4 at 500, and they're still right in the mix here within the division. AFC South, I think, is wide open, especially with that news coming across there that the Houston Texans now not going to have Stephon Diggs, so a little banged up. They're only going to lose a bit of steam going forward. So, Joe Flacco, welcome back to the big leagues, my guy. This is a salty, seasoned veteran who has done everything when asked of him before, and you've got to imagine he's going to be ready to rock and roll again here.
Like, instead of 4-4, right, the Colts, if they were 2-6, maybe you ride Anthony Richardson out because, hey, there's no way we can chase down the division leader, which is the Texans, which is a perfect segue, because the Texans didn't get any better with the news that Stephon Diggs tore his ACL on Sunday versus the Colts. Season over for him. Now you might be looking to the, you know, markets to try to say, all right, where can we fit in another wide receiver when so many of the big names have already been taken off the board? It's a, you never wish injuries earlier in the season, but maybe if Diggs tore his ACL 2 weeks ago, you could have made a move for one of the top flight names. Now you still have Nico Collins. He's coming back, one of the better young wide receivers in the NFL. Tank Dell is certainly a very good piece, but Stephon Diggs sort of tied it all together for me for the Houston Texans. They sit at 6-2. Is their season over? Absolutely not. Do I still think they win the division? Yes, I do. But the fact of the matter is that top-end ceiling really gets hit a little bit with Diggs' injury here. Now, it is only one player. It's one wide receiver. I get it. And you can replace him and try to get some of that production in the free agent market, you know, unrestricted free agent market, and also in the trade markets here. But if we are looking at the Houston Texans overall, win totals there, 11.5, a massive favorite still to win the AFC South, but a devastating injury nonetheless here to the Texans here, Dubs.
Yeah, and look, Nico's going to have to take a bulk of the productivity moving forward. He's been fantastic, but it's certainly not great news. You know, just having that experience in the locker room, Donnie. Stephon Diggs, I would say, still at the peak of his powers, and it's a lot tougher than trying to scheme from the other side of the ball if you've got a couple of big threats for the Texans coming at you. The run game has still been very strong. Joe Mixon has looked fantastic since coming back, and you've still got one of the best quarterbacks in the league there in CJ Stroud. But devastating news for Stephon Diggs, going to be a free agent going in to next season. It was a non-contact injury, so that they're always a little more serious when there's no one even around you. You just go down like, I guess, the old deck chair out the back of the pool there. So for the Texans trying to go forward, they've started in really good fashion. They picked up where they left off. They're sitting at 6-2. That win total for me, Donnie, a little scary at 11.5. They've got the Jets on deck for Thursday night football, but a lot has to go in favor to pick up another 6 wins and go over that mark. I still think they're the team to beat in a lackluster division, but can we pick up another 6 between now and the playoffs? That's going to be big.
Yeah, take a look at his last couple games, too. Minimum of 7 targets, a high of 9 targets. But look at the yardage, Dubs. 69, 82, 77, 23, and 81. Certainly, they're going to miss his production. And as you said, they have a game Thursday night in the Meadowlands. So now they're going to be down to Stephon Diggs and Collins taking on the limping Jets. But that is a tough spot here. We'll see where they line up. And also, I do think they'll make some moves to fortify that wide receiver position, because once you do Diggs, if they try to replace that production, maybe they can do it. More NFL talk next. Well, the Ravens, they're looking to add production at the wide receiver position. What does that mean for Lamar Jackson next?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Making moves to try to fortify your team. Many NFL teams will do that before the trade deadline hits next Tuesday. And one of those teams that's actually making moves is the Baltimore Ravens. Did they get a true number one wide receiver? No, but they got a very good piece here. Adam Schefter tweeted yesterday, Carolina is sending wide receiver Deontay Johnson to the Baltimore Ravens, which means the white flag comes up in Carolina. Understandably, Deontay Johnson, who was a very good player, had a couple issues with drops with the Pittsburgh Steelers, signed a lucrative deal down there with Carolina. It now lines up in Baltimore, which is interesting to me because you add another piece to the puzzle, Dubsy. Instead of getting into it deep right now, what were your first thoughts on Deontay Johnson headed over now to the Baltimore Ravens?
It's a spoil of riches now for the best offense in the NFL. It's always going to be that run-heavy offense, but certainly not a bad addition here. Deontay Johnson never going to be that true one, but you really don't need him to be. And for the Ravens to continue to roll at this point of the season, you can make the argument one of the best teams. Another fantastic wide receiving option there for star quarterback Lamborghini Lamar Jackson. You look at some of the other compliments we've got in the likes of Zay Flowers, you've got Bateman, you've got arguably the best 1-2 punch with your tight ends in Mark Ingram, who's looked fantastic. He's suddenly getting a lot more looks than Isaiah Likely. You've got the best running back, maybe the best season we've ever seen from a run game there with King Henry, Derrick Henry. So for the Ravens, you've got to love this addition. Not good for the Panthers there to lose one of their star pieces, but obviously it's been time to sell the farm there for a very long time. So I love this pickup for Baltimore. Deontay Johnson, we're talking about teams who've got that depth, teams who are trying to fend off the old injury struggles coming into week 9. Certainly not the case here for Baltimore, who look fantastic at this point of the year.
Love it, too. You look at the AFC North. The Pittsburgh Steelers still in first place at 6-2. The reason being why the Ravens aren't 6-2 is because they lost a game against the Cleveland Browns, which you can't do. But any given Sunday, we know that's certainly a possibility to happen. But if you are looking at the, let's just say, the depth chart on offense for the Baltimore Ravens, it's good. Like, the offensive line, we understand. A big mash unit there built on the running game. But if you're looking from a quarterback position, maybe the best in the game, one of the best in the game in Lamar Jackson. Maybe one of the best, if not the best in the game, running back there in Derrick Henry. Three wide receivers in Johnson, Flowers, and Bateman that can all get loose deep. And also younger players with good legs here. Likely a tight end to go with the veteran Mark Andrews. I love the look of this offense. And also, just getting back to that point saying, well, wouldn't you rather have Devontae Adams get that true number one? No, because Dubsy, I don't want to lose the identity of the Baltimore Ravens, which when you get to the playoffs, it's colder weather, chilly temperatures. You got to be effective on the ground. Not necessarily a high-octane pass offense, which for some reason the Ravens tried to do in the AFC Championship game last year against the Chiefs. But for my money, I like this move because it doesn't mess up the balance of offense, but adds an extra piece here, and we'll see how he gets ingrained into that offense. Because if we're looking at the Ravens' numbers here, team win total, 11.5 on the season. To win the AFC North, a minus 195, even though they're not in first place right now, I agree with that. An AFC title, plus 330, and a Super Bowl title at plus 650. Moving forward with the Ravens here. The AFC North, their favorite, almost at a 2-1 price here. Do you agree with that number, even though the Pittsburgh Steelers currently sit in first place in that division?
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at what we're working with, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens, you look at what Mike Tomlin has done now with Danger Russell Wilson, a quarterback. I think the Steelers will lose a bit of steam, not to say that they're going to drop off completely, but for the Baltimore Ravens, I mean, when you're built with this kind of depth at this point of the season, you're really not going to go backwards in a hurry. They got caught with that look-ahead spot last week. I think they're in a very dangerous spot again going against the Denver Broncos, but I think they take out the North. I love them for the AFC title at plus 330 and a plus 650 for a Super Bowl. The same question is going to remain once we make it into the postseason in the playoffs. It's not going to be the run game. It's not going to be, do they have the wide receivers? Do they have the horses to lean on? Can that defense step up and be elite like we've seen over the last couple of years? It's going to be Lamar Jackson. Can he make the right decisions at the clutch times of all these big games? We haven't seen it thus far in the playoffs. It's been a really tough assignment for him going against KC. This is going to be the test, and we're not going to know that test, Donnie, until we get to the playoffs. Love their win total. I love them in the regular season. Lamar Jackson, make or break. For me, it's all going to be what happens up top between the ears. Can he make the smart decisions at the critical points?
And a pretty manageable schedule as you move forward. Now, the thing that we always love about football is sometimes you have backloaded schedules here with some of the teams that maybe if you played early in the season could have decided things. You got two games against the Steelers still left to go where the Steelers are in first place. But you're right. A Broncos team that certainly isn't an easy knockout punch. You say, well, Donnie, the Ravens got him at home. Yeah, we've seen the Ravens lose home games this year alone to the Vegas Raiders. Then the Bengals come on deck there, which is a chance really to throw another knockout punch or a haymaker at the Bengals themselves. And that Steelers game at 1 o'clock on November 17th. I got a good idea, Dubsy. That game is either getting flexed into 425 or flexed into the night game. That is going to be sensational television to watch. But we're right about this. Don't we usually have like some referendum sometimes? Like, it just feels like the Ravens. You know Lamar Jackson in the regular season can be the best quarterback in football. He's done it two times already, looking for a third MVP here. We know Derrick Henry is sensational. We know this team's capabilities at its best are one of the best teams in football. But it just feels like, show me in the playoffs, Lamar. Win games here. And I still can't get over that AFC championship loss to a hobbled Kansas City Chiefs team where they had them dead to rights in their own building and just decided to go back to 1984 if it was the Miami Dolphins working with Dan Marino here instead of sticking to the ground game. So the fruits of labor should pan out. And I love the Ravens every year in the regular season. I'm taking them to win 12 games, Dubsy. That 11.5, give me the over right now.
Let's go. Send it north there for the Baltimore Ravens. Yep. And Donnie, when we talk about rosters coming into a new year, new season, it was the 49ers. This is going to be the best offense on paper. And I think we will see that going through the regular season. I can jump in there for that win total with you, Donnie. Absolutely buying stock. The Ravens will be the team to catch once we play a little playoff football. I think there's value behind that win total. I like him in the AFC at plus 330. And yes, they are one of the best teams in football. But again, you got to get through Patty Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs. And we hate seeing the front runners, Donnie. We just don't want to see any team flying so high. This is going to be their chance.
By the way, the last 4 weeks, too, like we talk about adding to offense of the Baltimore Ravens, which is great. You never have too many weapons, but let's get some help for that defense. How about a pass rusher? Dubs, the last 4 weeks, 38 points given up to the Bengals, 23 to the Commanders, 31 to the Bucs, 29 to the Browns. That's very un-Ravens-like defense, and we're thinking about Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and all the boys back in the day. Maybe that's where they go for the trade deadline here. Let's flip it over to the NBA. Luka Doncic, little Luka magic yesterday. We'll talk NBA and also some early MVP odds in the association next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Over to the association, because yes, there are hot topics all around the sports world. I know the focus is on the NFL during the NFL season, and rightfully so. It just gives us unbelievable updates every single day. And by the way, Dubsy, in the NFL, like I have off on Tuesdays. I always get a kick out of it. Like Tuesdays is the day for business in the NFL. So many hot topics drop throughout the day. I got to find myself on Twitter/X all day long just trying to keep up, which means, and look, if I'm commissioner of sports, Dubs, to be honest, I love betting the NBA. It's a lot of fun. But if the NBA could just start like Christmas Day or later, so I just have more time to focus on that, it would be better, because I'm missing games out and watching day to day, like the Mavericks yesterday beating the Timberwolves 120 to 114. You look at this game, just the statistics alone, Irving, 35 points, Doncic, 24 points in this game. You flip it over to the other side, Julius Randle, 20 points, Edwards, 37 points. There's so many superstars in the NBA. And even if you have Luka Doncic yesterday playing 40 minutes, got banged up a little bit, but looks like he's going to be okay. 10 for 27 from the floor, 1 for 8 for three-point range. It doesn't matter. The Mavericks still picked up the 120 to 114 victory on the road last night.
And they were grabbing 4.5 going on the road. The NBA, tough betting scenes early in the season here. But for Luka, he came up with that clutch dagger when they needed the most. Kyrie Irving was in his bag, putting up 35 points. Highlighted earlier in the show, there's 16 of the 35 for Kyrie came in that third quarter. So they really started with a flurry coming out from the halftime break. On the other side of things for the Timbs, Anthony Edwards continues to wow and dazzle. This guy is the face of the NBA. He's an absolute bona fide superstar. He's missing Kat, but Julius Randle has looked fantastic since coming across, wearing the new uni there. But for Edwards, he puts up 37 points, 5-plus three-pointers in all four games this season. That's the longest streak we've seen in team history there for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So fantastic stuff for Anthony Edwards. He continues to chirp out spectators and the fans. He shows us a bit of everything, but also the pizzazz out there on the floor. So it was a high scorer. The Mavs were grabbing points. And again, since Klay Thompson's come across there, it suddenly gives him that third punch, a little trifecta of threats out there on the floor, and another guy who can finish off these games. You know, for me, Donnie, when Kyrie came across to the Mavs, I always question the chemistry, the cohesion. How's it going to look when you've got two ball-dominant players late in these games? Kyrie Irving hasn't really had a great track record of being that clubhouse guy, but something about the environment, the vibe over there in Dallas, it looked fantastic last year. Klay looks like he's found a new home, and it looks like a bunch of good guys and good mates who are playing basketball together, and that's going to help going against some of the big teams in the association. And we saw it again there last night, now starting their new season, sitting at 3-1. They're looking like one of the powerhouses in the association.
Absolutely, and anytime you have Luka Doncic on that team, he's always in that MVP conversation. So if we flip it over to the FanDuel Sportsbook, Luka actually is a 3-1 price right now, but he's not in first place on the odds leaderboard. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but let's start here. Entering into the season, it was Nikola Jokic, a favorite at a plus 430 price. Having a really good season once again, maybe the Nuggets having a great, not having a great start to the season, he actually drops back to a 10-1 price. Now the one guy that interests me a lot is Jason Tatum at that plus 550 price. When did he turn into being a clutch three-point shooter all of a sudden? Every time I used to bet him in the past, hey, Jason, make 1-3. No problem, Donnie. I'll take 9 threes, and I'll make one of those every single night. How about Jason Tatum plus 550, Doncic 3-1, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander plus 250? How are we feeling in the MVP market right now, Dubs?
It's going to be a very fluid market. You know, if you like Jokic, it's not a bad buy low spot. We're just four games into the season in getting him at plus 1,000. They're sitting at 2-2. They've won two, they've lost two. There's no signs of concern over there in Denver. They're going to steady the ship. And for Jason Tatum and the Celtics, you know, it's going to help his chances. They're the best team in the NBA. He's probably motivated off, you know, that Olympics sort of put him on the sidelines, not giving him any game time, head coach Steve Kerr there. But look, love Tatum. I think the only thing that that hurts his chances is probably playing alongside some of those other superstars in Derek White. Brown, obviously going to take a lot of productivity, and on some nights they're going to be that sharpshooter, that clutch playmaker, if you will, there. So this is a great market. I think any of the top 10 on this board is still going to be live, but SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what he does for Oklahoma City Thunder, OKC, night in, night out, seeing plenty of minutes, plenty of production. Without Josh Giddey, he's got his hands on the ball a little more, and you're looking for a team that's absolutely going to be in the playoff hunt, a young team playing really good basketball, SGA right in the mix. He's also got that durability. That's what we want to see for a season-long award.
As Joe Lisa would say, you want a crypto smash play? How about Joel Embiid at 150-1 to win that MVP? The only question is he going to play more than 20 games a season and not qualify for the actual award? Hour number two up next, the NFL. Who's winning the Super Bowl? Dubsy and Donnie. We're going to pick some winners next.